Allow this song by Keith and Kristen Getty, titled Gethsemane Hymn, set up today's special reading during Mark and Friends.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. To see the King of heaven fall in anguish to his knees, the light and hope of all the world, now overwhelmed with grief. What nameless horrors must he see to cry out in the garden? Oh, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours. Yet not my will, but yours.
Reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 7th, 2023. Take it over, Jason, because I know you have us all ready to read some of the story.
Well, for all of us who are tuned in today, we are celebrating today, remembering and being reminded of the events of Good Friday. But for some people, you might be tuning in and saying, how did we get to Friday? How did we get to Sunday? How do we get here? And maybe you have heard the highlight reel but never watched the game and never been able to actually understand how the biblical narrative comes together to bring Jesus to the upper room and to the arrest, to the garden, to the cross, and ultimately to the tomb, which he is not in because he has risen. And so today what we want to do together as a group is to walk through the scripture. So sit back wherever you are and hear how God orchestrated this moment.
Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple. The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, "Scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." When the leading priests and the teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teachings.
As we enter into Tuesday, did you hear that last line? The tension is beginning to rise. They're looking for a way to kill him.
Tuesday, challenge of Jesus' authority. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed that it had been withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you've cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May it be lifted and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, and leading priests and teachers of religious law and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. If they say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But if we do dare say it was merely human, for they were afraid of what the people would do because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things."
And now we move to Wednesday.
Wednesday, the plot to kill Jesus. Then Jesus had finished saying all these things. He said to his disciples, "As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus.
So on Monday, they plot to kill him. And now by Wednesday, they have somebody on the inside who is willing to betray Jesus.
Thursday, the Last Supper. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into the basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Then Simon Peter exclaimed, "Wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." But Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, "Who's he talking about?" So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus responded, "It is the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl." And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, "Hurry and do what you're going to do." Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. The Garden of Gethsemane. When they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray," he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping again, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here."
As we enter today, which is Friday, we need to be reminded, as Tad read, that continually in that those verses it says, he knew, he knew, he knew. He knew that his time to die was here. He knew who his betrayer was. He knew all these things were going to happen, and yet he still did it.
Peter denies Jesus. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate, so she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, "You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?" "No," he said, "I am not." Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves, and Peter stood with them, warming himself. They asked him again, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "No, I am not." But one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?" Again, Peter denied it, and immediately the rooster crowed.
Friday, then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the religious law and elders had gathered. So Jesus was taken to Annas. First they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Then Jesus was taken to Caiaphas. "What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they said. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah, who hit you at time."
Jesus taken to Pilate. Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to them and asked, "What is your charge against this man? We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted. "Then take him away and judge him with your own law," Pilate told them. Only the Romans were permitted to execute someone, the Jewish leaders replied. This fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Then Pilate went back to into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked him. Jesus replied, "Is this your question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" And Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He is not guilty of any crime. But you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews?" But they shouted back, "No, not this man. We want Barabbas."
I struggled for a long time with why Barabbas? Why this whole moment of Barabbas? Until I realized that Barabbas is me.
Jesus is taken back to Pilate. Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate said he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
We know historically that the temple and that area will be destroyed and desecrated in 70 AD, thus fulfilling the prophecy that the children of these people who shouted, "Crucify him," will suffer for what they have done.
Jesus mocked. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. The road to the cross. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put a cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed.' People will beg the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and plead with the hills, 'Bury us.' For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. The cross. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran up with a sponge and sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At the moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split apart, and the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God."
And all of this that started on Sunday, that led to today, that led to Good Friday, that led to the cross, that leads us on Sunday morning to the tomb, all of it happened just as Scripture said it would. Just as a serpent was raised up in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up for the forgiveness of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one, his only begotten Son, that none should perish, but that all should know that they are the sons and daughters of God. This week matters more than any of us can imagine, because it's at this moment that God broke down the dividing wall of hostility and drew close his children.